This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. The man known as Chemical Ali will be the first to go on trial for his acts under Saddam Hussein's government. Ali Hassan al-Majid is accused of presiding over the use of chemical weapons in the 1980s. His target was Iraqi Kurds. And today, Iraq's defense minister says Ali will be tried for war crimes, genocide, and torture. Iraqi officials go on to say that the trial could begin as soon as next week. Iraq's new government has never done anything like these trials, and officials called in international law experts to train Iraqi judges. One of them is Michael Scharf. He's a professor of law at Case Western Reserve University School of Law and director of that school's International Law Center, and he's on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So Iraqi officials say they want to start trials next week. Is it likely that they will succeed in doing that?
They're not even going to try to do it. The real news today is that that was just a lot of press gimmickry during a campaign and that there is no real intention to have trials begin until midterm next year.
Pardon me for laughing, but you're telling me that the announcement that was made, nothing to it as far as you can tell.
I got confirmation from the Department of Justice's Regime Crimes Liaison Office in Baghdad, which is assisting with the trials of the Iraqi Special Tribunal, that this is just another false alarm.
Okay. That having been said, some preparations have been made. You were working with Iraqi judges in the month of October to provide them with some training. Who are these judges, first off?
Well, the judges could not be high-level judges in the old Iraqi regime because they were corrupted. And they're not high-level former judges that were in exile because they had an axe to grind. So the judges primarily are younger, less experienced, lower-level judges, the kinds of judges that would preside over misdemeanor trials, even traffic court.
So they have some judicial experience.
They do. And in fact, in trials involving international war crimes, there are no judges ever that have judicial experience with those crimes.
When you had 8 days to work with these judges, what were the basic things you tried to get across?
Well, they assigned me the task of teaching the crime of genocide. And we designed a simulation, much as I would do with my law students, where we looked at the facts of somebody who was a dictator who dammed rivers going into a marsh area, killing hundreds of thousands of people and dispersing many others in response to an uprising. Now, that sounds pretty similar to the real facts, but we couldn't use real names and places because that would prejudice the case. And the question there was, is it genocide if the intent is not necessarily to kill all the people, but rather to suppress an uprising? Another area that they asked me to teach was with respect to the crime of aggression. It's a crime that hasn't been prosecuted since Nuremberg. None of the existing international tribunals have jurisdiction over that crime because the U.S. government and other governments have opposed the crime of aggression being included, for the very reason that they're often accused of that crime.
So what safeguards are in place to make sure that whatever judgment comes down is a fair judgment?
Well, one of the reasons I say that I know that the trial isn't starting next week is because the safeguards are built into the rules of procedure and evidence, and those rules have not yet been fully developed. They're in the process of drafting them, and those safeguards in the draft include all of the safeguards that you would see in any of the international tribunal trials, and in U.S. courts. The full Bill of Rights are reflected here, which is unique for Iraq. One of the things we worked on during our training session was the exclusionary rule. There is a provision in the statute of the Iraqi Special Tribunal that will also be reflected in the rules that says that if anybody is tortured, any evidence that leads from that torture cannot be used. And this is important because the press has misstated that there can be torture evidence used in this trial, and that is absolutely wrong.
In addition to the rules of evidence, I understand there's also something of a problem with attorneys. For example, attorneys for Saddam Hussein say they have not had contact with him yet.
The truth is there is a process that's been in place that allows anybody who is a legitimate defense counsel to register to defend their client. And once they've so registered, they are entitled to meet with their client. And none of the 20 people who have publicly stated that they're going to be representing Saddam Hussein have yet even tried to register with the court.
So how long might it be, in your estimation, before Iraq is ready to put people on trial?
They really have to wait till after the elections, because under the Geneva Conventions, it says that an occupying force cannot create a special tribunal. And so until there's been an elected government to ratify this statute, it would give the defendants a very large argument to attack the legitimacy of the proceedings.
Mr. Scharf, thanks very much.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Michael Scharf is a professor of law at Case Western Reserve University.